times.
Okay, so today's daf is daf Samach Vav, and we are dealing with, as Baruch pointed out, the laws of wine. The Mishnah had said on Samach Hamid Beis that in regards to Yei Nesach, in regards to wine of the non-Jews, I'm sorry, today's about Daf's Nunvav, so we were on Nunham Beis. It's Nunvav, I'm sorry, Nunvav. Mishnah said on Daf Nunhei
56.
That in regards to Yei Nesach, the law is that you're allowed to buy from a non-Jew the grapes that are first crushed, that are on the top of the wine press, even though he touched them and he touched the liquid that came out of them, that's not yet considered wine. The Mishnah said, Eino osa yei nesach, the non-Jew can't make wine disqualified as yei nesach, ad sheyered labor, until the wine is not on the top of the wine press, but it's in the cistern. It's already been crushed, it's gone down into the pit. Once it's in the pit, at that point it has the title, yayin, wine, and then if he touches it, it becomes yei nesach. Then the Mishnah said, yared labor, once it's already in the cistern, masha babor osur, what's in the pit is prohibited when the non-Jew touches. Vashar mutter, but the stuff that's out of the pit, that is permissible. So now, going to today's daf, at the two dots. Ve'eno osa yei nesach ad sheyered labor. It doesn't become yei nesach, it doesn't become disqualified wine until it actually is in the cistern. Asks the Gemara, Va'atanya, but we learned in a brice in regards to maestros that at what point is the wine considered finished? That now you need to separate trumos and maestros before you can eat from it. Yein mishiakape. That wine is considered finished once the seeds and the little twigs that are in the wine that's in the cistern have risen to the top. So you see that it's not considered wine once it's in the cistern, it's only wine once the grape seeds have come to the top. So if it's only wine in regards to the obligation of maestros, once the grape seeds have come to the top, so then that should be the same in regards to Yei Nesach. Only once the grape seeds have come to the top should it be that if a non-Jew touches it at that point or later, that it becomes disqualified. Amar Rava, Rava answered, Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Harabi Akiva, Harabanan. It's actually an argument of the earlier Tanayim between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, once the wine goes into the cistern, it's wine. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a little bit later. Only once the grape seeds and the twigs have risen to the top is it considered wine. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, in regards to when is it obligated in the tithing and the maestros, yayin, at what point is it called wine? Mishiyered labor, according to the Rabbanan, once it goes down into the cistern, it's wine, and it's you're obligated in maestros. Rabbi Akiva says only mishiyikape, once it is, some of the bad stuff is separating out. Once the grape seeds and the other things are rising to the top, at that point it's called wine. So that argument in regards to maestros, the Gemara thinks, would be the same in regards to Yei Nesach. That if you hold that it's obligated in maestros once it's in the cistern, then it's called wine once it's in the cistern. Then once it's in the cistern, if a non-Jew touches it in the cistern, it became disqualified. But if you hold that it's only wine to be obligated in maestros once the grape seeds have risen to the top, then also when the non-Jew touches it, it would only be disqualified if he touched it at that point. If he touched it earlier when it was just in the cistern, it would not be non-kosher wine, because it wasn't wine yet, it was just a liquid.
Which opinion is halacha, Rabbi?
We'll see. It gets a little bit more complicated.
Rabbi, I don't really understand why, but I thought it's like you don't drink. No one drinks fresh wine. I thought like it has to age a little bit.
But when you put the wine in,
I don't think anyone's drinking either of these stages. I think the point is, at what point is it beginning to ferment to the point that it's called wine?
So, wouldn't for mice, or wouldn't you only take it when it becomes like a food of some sort?
Once it's completed, right? Once you, for example, it's like grain. Grain is mishiyira pnei abayis. Once you cut the grain and bring it inside, at that point it's obligated in maestros.
It's like usable or whatever.
It's sort of like finished. When right. You finish the manufacture.
So wine, they're considering it's finished enough, even though people wouldn't necessarily.
That's right.
But grape juice, non-fermented, would be in the same category, right? A non-Jew can't touch the.
Yeah.
Also the,
yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see. So the Gemara now says, Ibailahu. They had a question in the yeshiva. When you talk about the grape seeds rising, Kipui Debor, once the grape seeds are at the top of the wine that's in the cistern, O Kipui Dechavis, or maybe it's when the grape seeds are at the top of the barrel. In other words, after it's taken from the cistern and put into the barrel, at that point, it's considered wine. But maybe in the pit, it's still not wine. Says the Gemara Tashma, come and hear a proof. Again, in Maestros, we learned, it's not looked at a Mishnah, Yayin, wine, when is it finished so that it's obligated in Maestros? Vishyakapet, once the seeds have separated from the liquid. And Afal Pisha Kipa, and even though there is some separation of the seeds from the liquid, Kolet Minagata El Yona, the wine can still absorb wine. This liquid can still absorb liquid from what's on the top of the wine press. Minat Sinor, and from the pipe that's bringing from the top down to here. In other words, the person, can go take some of that wine, Vishota, and drink, even without taking Maestros. Because since that wine is not yet in the cistern, and that wine has not separated, that liquid has not separated from the grape seeds, that's not obligated in Maestros. In other words, when you have a wine press, you have on the top of this little hill an area to start the crushing of the grapes, and you have a pipe that takes the liquid down into the cistern. So even if in the cistern what's there has already been finished because the seeds that are there have been separated from the wine, it's starting to ferment. So what's down on the bottom you need to separate Maestros from before you drink from it. You could still go to the liquid that's at the top, the liquid that's in the pipe, take some of that liquid and drink it, and it wouldn't be obligated in Maestros yet. So Shmamina, so what do you see? Kipui Debor Karminan. So the definition of the seed separating from the liquid is the seed separating from the liquid in the cistern. We're not talking about separating after the cistern into a barrel. No, we're talking about separating when it's in the cistern. So Gemara says, Shmami, no, okay, you proved that. That's proven. Okay. So now, we've said till now that there are two opinions. At what point is a liquid considered wine? Either it's once the liquid gets into the cistern, or it's past that point. It's at the point when the liquid in the cistern is separating out from it the seeds that are there. And we said that there are two ramifications to this question. One ramification is our issue. If a non-Jew touches it, does it become disqualified? We said if it's not wine, if it's just liquid, then the non-Jews touching would not disqualify it. And then we said another ramification is it obligated in maestros? Would we say that a person can't eat from it until he separates the tithes? So now asks the Gemara a contradiction. Vatani Rav Zvid b'derber Rav Oshia, but we know that Rav Zvid taught in Braisa in the yeshiva of Rav Oshia. Yayin, at what point does wine finish that it's obligated in maaser? Mishiyered labor, once the liquid goes down into the cistern, v'yakapet, and after it's in the cistern, the seed separated out from it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Mishi Yishle b'chavios. Once you take it out of the cistern and put it into barrels. So you see that according to the Chachamim, it's not once the liquid comes into the cistern. It's once the liquid is separating the grape seeds from the liquid. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's even after that, it's once it goes into a barrel. So we have a contradiction, the view of Rabbi Akiva. Does Rabbi Akiva say it's wine once the grape seeds are separating, or does he say it's only wine once it's in barrels? And we have a contradiction, the view of the Chachamim. Do they say it's wine once it's in the cistern, or do they say it's wine only once within the cistern the grape seeds are separating from the juice? So the Gemara answers, Tartzanami l'achka maisahachi. You have to change the original brisa to fit with this second brisa. Yayin, according to the Chachamim, what is wine that it's obligated in maestros? Misha yered labor via kafe. Once it's in the cistern and it's separating out the seeds from the liquid. Rabbi Akiva Omer, when is it wine? Misha yishle b'chavios. Once it's taken from the cistern and now put into barrels. So, according to this, according to this, it have to be at a later point. So now what about our Mishnah? Who's our Mishnah following? What about our Mishnah that said, the non-Jews touching the liquid would not disqualify the liquid until it's down in the cistern. So that sounds like once it's in the cistern, even without separating. So lame without separating from the grape seeds yet. So lame atlasi tanaihi. So now it turns out that there are really three opinions. That our Mishnah holds it's wine once it's in the cistern. The Chachamim hold it's wine when it's in the cistern and the grape seeds are separating out. And Rabbi Akiva holds once it's taken out of the cistern and in barrels. So Gemara says, "Lo, you don't have to say that there's a third opinion against these two opinions." Shani yainesach dachmiru b'rabbanan. Maybe in regards to maestros, which is what the topic of those two brisos were about. Either it's wine once the grape seeds are separating out, or maybe it's wine once it goes into the barrels. But that's in regards to maestros. But yainesach is a rabbinic law. Because of a connection to Avodah Zarah, that we're worried that if the non-Jew touches it, he may also pour some of it for idols. And Avodah Zarah is very strict. So in Yei Nesach, the rabbis were very strict. So since they were very strict, they said even at an earlier point, it's problematic, even once it's in the cistern. But really, when it's in the cistern, it's not yet wine. It's only wine once the grape seeds separate out, or it's only wine once it, even past that point, it's in the barrels. But in regards to Yei Nesach, they're stricter, and they say that even if it was touched when it was just in the cistern, it's already disqualified. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ula Rava, now turning to Nun Vav Amud Beis, Ula Rava Delo Shanile. Now according to Rava, he doesn't think that Yei Nesach is any different than Meiser. He thought that, he said earlier, and when we asked the question from the Mishnah and Maestros about our Mishnah, in our Mishnah we said that wine is finished once it's in the cistern. Maestros said, Rabbi Akiva said it's once the grapes are separating out. So he didn't say, oh, Yei Nesach is stricter. He said, no, our Mishnah is following the Rabbanu who disagree with Rabbi Akiva. So, Mukim La, so he'll have to tell you, Ketlasa Tanai, and in fact there are three different views amongst the Tannaim. There's one view that it's wine once it's in the cistern. Another view that it's wine once the grape seeds are separating out from the liquid within the cistern. And a third view that it's wine once it leaves the cistern and comes into the barrels. Okay.
Rava's opinion is more intuitive because the Meiser would be a deraisa. The Avodah Zarah is just a derabana.
Good point. That's a good point. Right. That's a good point. That's a very good point. All right, the Mishnah then said, once the juice goes down into the cistern, Masha Babor Asur, if the non-Jew touches it, what's in the cistern is prohibited. Vashar Mutter, and the other wine within the apparatus, within the wine-pressing apparatus, is permissible. Amar Rav Huna said, this that we said in the Mishnah, that the wine in the cistern is permitted. Lo shanu, that's only true.
Not permitted, but you can get benefit from it.
No, I'm saying, this that we said, that the wine in the rest of the system is permitted, right? We said, if the juice has come down into the cistern, then the juice on top of it is all allowed still. It's the wine that's what's in the cistern that's not allowed, right? The stuff in the pipes, the stuff on top of the pipes, that's okay.
The seeds and everything else flows on the top of the barrel. Underneath is the juice.
That's also true, but that's not what we're saying right here. Right here we said that in our Mishnah, remember you have on the top of the hill, you have what we call the gat, the area where there are planks, and they would step on the grapes. And they would take the grapes, put them in a pile, a tapuach, and they would put the planks on top of this pile to crush them.
Great.
And it would go down a pipe, and then it would go into through a sifter, and then it would be in a cistern, in a hole in the ground. So we're saying, when does it start to become wine? Once it's in the hole in the ground. That's the view of the Mishnah.
Six to eight months after it can become wine.
Right, so we're saying that if the non-Jew touches the wine that's in the hole in the ground, the juice in the ground, so that becomes prohibited, but the juice that's in the pipes, the juice that's up on top, where they're still crushing the grapes, that's not prohibited. That's what the Mishnah said.
But so, what happens to that juice, the grapes that are in the ground? That's the Jew can't even get benefit from that?
Once he touches, yeah.
No benefit?
Yeah, and once he touches.
Throw it away? Because so many times we learned that if there's a financial loss, the
So,
add little so bit Rabbi,
at the most basic level, right now we've learned that a Gentile can help in the harvesting of the grapes and bring him in, right?
Yeah.
But now there's a question about to what extent could they be involved in any of the processing.
So let's see. So again, the Mishnah said, Masha Babor Asur, whatever is down in the pit is prohibited by the non-Jew touching it. Vashar Mutter, the rest of the juices in this apparatus are permitted. So Rav Huna said, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Hivzir Gargusni Lagas. This is only true if the big basket, which is attached to this pipe that takes the juice from the gut down into the cistern, and this basket, you know, is the sifter. This is only true if you haven't returned the basket to the top of the pipe. Aval, but if the non-Jew touches the juice that's in the hole, and then hirzir gargusni lagas, and then they use this big basket, this wicker basket for the sifting, is put back on the top of the pipe, then usser, even all the juices on the top and the juices in the pipe are prohibited, because there is going to be this basket will have in it drops of forbidden wine, and these drops of the forbidden wine are now going to mix with the juices to prohibit all the juices. So the Gemara now suggests, Gargusni gufa b'maika mitzra, these drops that are in the basket, what prohibited them? They never got into the pit. So why did they become prohibited? The answer is nitzok. Maybe when you have a stream of liquid, maybe the halacha is that the bottom of the stream is considered attached to the top of the stream, and it's all considered one unit. And therefore, when you have, you know, wine draining through the wicker basket into the pit, it's considered connected to the pit. So once the non-Jew touches the juice in the pit, which makes that prohibited, since it's all considered attached, the juice in the basket also becomes prohibited. And Shmaminas, you see from this, that Nitzok Chibur, that in regards to the prohibition of wine touched by a non-Jew, if there is a connection of liquids, a stream of liquids, it's considered attached to be one item. So that would be what's going on here. The non-Jew touches the wine in the pit. There is a basket that's sifting things that are going from the pipe into the pit. So as things are straining through the basket, right, there are these streams of water, streams of liquid, attaching what's in the basket to what's in the pit. So the non-Jew goes and touches what's in the pit, that becomes prohibited. But since there are streams, even what's in the basket becomes prohibited. So now if you take the basket and put it on top of the pipe next to where all the crushed grapes are, so now this prohibited drops that are in the basket are going to be mixing with the juice coming out of the grapes. So then you'd have a prohibition, even though the non-Jew didn't touch up there, and even though that stuff is not yet wine, there would be a prohibition. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe kidetani Reb Chiya. Maybe what Rav Huna said, that if you put the basket up on top, you have a problem. That's based on what Rabbi Chiya teaches later on in the Masechta. We learned over there that if a Jew pours wine through a funnel into a utensil of the non-Jew, the wine becomes prohibited, the wine that's in the funnel. And that's not because a stream is considered a connection. As Rabbi Chiya explained, Shepchasaso Tzluchiso. The wine that's in the utensil of the non-Jew has overflowed, and it came into the funnel. And since it came into the funnel, there was actually a mixture of Jewish wine with non-Jewish wine. That's why it became prohibited. So Hachanami, here too, we can say, when would we say that if you put the basket, there is a problem? Now, why should there be any problem with the basket that it could be able to create a problem with the juice coming out of the grapes? Shepchasaso bolo. Maybe the wine in the cistern had overflowed. And since it overflowed, it went back, it backed up into the basket that was straining stuff out of the juice. And since it backed up, it created a prohibition. And then when you put that basket back on the top of this wine pressing apparatus next to the grape juice, so now you have a mixture of prohibited drops of wine that came from the cistern with the grape juice. That's why it becomes prohibited, but not necessarily is it so that a stream is a connection. A stream may not be a connection. It's because literally there was stuff from the pit that are in the basket.
So if you held the stream as a connection, you would say that even the stuff that was feeding into the stream is usher?
Yeah, everything's all connected. So as long as he touches what's here in the down in the cistern, so even though further up you have this basket sifting the streams of stuff, but you know there are streams coming through the basket into the cistern. That means the cistern's connected all the way up. That means what's up was also prohibited. Then when you take the basket and put it further higher up on top of the hill, so now you have in the basket drops of prohibited wine, which is mixing. So now the whole thing becomes prohibited.
Rabbi, I don't know the Kabbalistic point of view part of it, but I think one of the reasons of going not to touch it, it was in the old days before Muhammad shows up. These people were very savages and animals, you know. Okay, these Arabs, and when they had no tolerance for alcohol. Mm-hmm. Once they had some alcohol, in their body, they would become really 100 times more savages than they used to slaughter Jews and kill them.
Yeah.
So I think one of these reasons of not touching the Gentile to touch it, at the time there were the Arabs, you know.
Hmm. Interesting. I never heard that.
So it's because they just hide them from them.
Hmm.
Okay. So there is a possibility that all these laws of not touching or this and that is written because they don't want them to know or touch the alcohol because...
So it's like a drug thing.
Well, I actually saw yesterday that...
for alcohol, no. Absolutely.
That okay. One of the Kabbalistic ideas is that in heaven, in Gan Eden, there is a special reward called Yayin HaMashumar, wine that was put away. And that if a person drinks non-Jewish wine, then he can't benefit from the Yayin HaMashumar. He can't get the special Jewish wine that was put away. It's a special... He's denied that reward. All right, now a story. Ahu Yanuka, there was this child, Tana Avodas Kochavim. He learned this Masechta Avodah Zarah, B'Shitshnin, when he was 6 years old. He was a very precocious child. Bo Mine, they asked him, Ma'u Lidrochim Ovid Kochavim Begas. He says, all right, you learned the Masechta. Are you allowed to go with a non-Jew into the top of the wine press to be stepping on grapes with him, with the non-Jew? Is it considered getting benefit from what you're not allowed to get benefit from? Or maybe it's not considered wine yet, and you're allowed to get benefit. So Amalusi said, you're allowed to. Dorchim over kocham begas. You can go to the top of the wine press, start stepping on the grapes, and you can get paid, and that's not considered getting benefit from Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara asks, the people in the yeshiva ask this boy, v'akam nasach biyadeh. I understand, if the non-Jew is there stepping on grapes, he might put his hand down there. And once he puts his hand down there, it's already Yayin Nesach, once he starts, pushing the liquids, moving the liquids around. So then already if it's Yayin Nesach, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. And he's getting benefit from this manufacture. So the kid said, Ditzayir na luhuli yadei. Let him tie up his hands. They said, but maybe he's moving it around for idolatry with his feet. So he said back, Nisuch deregel lo shmei nisuch. When a non-Jew is just moving with its feet, that's not idolatrous. It wouldn't be an act of service to push a liquid with feet to an idol. And therefore, that would not create a status of Yayin Nesach to prevent the Jew from being able to be stepping on grapes together with him. Okay, the earliest time for Talis and Tefillin this morning is 6:23, so we'll start without the Talis and Tefillin. Oh, the earlier we said, yesterday we said that the Maskana doesn't have to be in the pit. We said,
oh, so we don't have to be in the pit.